Things have been. This is my new favorite. Ooh. Everyone likes this.
Yeah. This is a good one.
It is. You can imagine someone like flying to their new destination that they're relocating to, looking out the window.
Right? I'm starving.
A world of opportunity awaits.
Right? I know. Now I'm in an airplane flying home. Seeing it.
It kind of has a Jonas Brothers.
Shawn Mendes.
Shawn, sure.
Yeah. You're like, who's that?
Sure. I wish I could sing that high, too.
Do you?
No, but it'd be
cool.
Do you
sing?
No.
No?
No.
All right. I like this.
I'm a bass.
This is... Here.
Boom, boom, boom. That's all I got.
I like this.
Yeah, we've this used is about
this. Some of my more favorite music for your opening.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about music the entire podcast.
Oh, no. Let's talk about what we've got on the agenda today.
We do. Thanks for chiming in, everyone. You are tuning in to MLO. And my guest, Heather Listy. She's a fan favorite, of course. Heather.
What up?
Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
If you haven't listened to any other of our podcasts, Heather's one of my trusted friends and real estate agents in the Portland and Southwest Washington market. We've done a lot of transactions together.
A lot.
I love it when you come on because you give a nice perspective.
I keep it real.
You do.
I'm very candid. Keep it real. So I like it. I love coming on here.
And thank you for coming. Yep. But also, we put a little effort into trying to come up with an episode today that is different than maybe all the stuff you see everywhere. Right, yep. Heather?
Yeah. Well, what I do is a little different. I do all relocation.
Right.
So out that of hits state. Out of state relocation. So it's a little different compared to maybe some of the other things that come up with your typical transactions.
And I think this is really important, everyone, especially if you, it kind of pertains to anyone in their journey of real estate purchasing and selling. If you're a first time home buyer, you need to know what contingent means. What is a contingency? Even if you're an investor,
yeah,
you need to understand what the market conditions are with contingency expectations, excuse me.
Yep.
Additionally, too, it's different in different markets. Like we're on the West Coast, so California and Oregon have two kind of separate temperatures and expectations. Yeah. So just to get right into it, Heather, let's kind of put a structure definition to what a contingency is and how that's used in the world of real estate.
For sure. Let's talk about a contingent offer. So that means that you have a house to sell before you can purchase a new home.
You got conditions. You can't close without doing X or ABC.
Now, can you buy a home the same time you're selling your home? Absolutely. But you're contingent on closing on your new home until your first home has sold.
And this might seem super elementary, but it's important because the last 2 years have seen real unprecedented market environments and paces. So back in 2018 and 19, which were kind of leaning more toward that temperature, there was a lot of offers to buy a new home contingent on closing the house they have for sale, their current primary. But now, the last 2 years, some sellers aren't even looking at those.
They're
offers.
Not. And let's be honest, a few years back, your house might not even be listed on the market yet. And you found your dream home, made an offer, and they accepted it contingent on your selling your home, and they allowed you to be bumpable. So you used to be able to not even have your house sold yet, get an accepted offer on another home. They give you, 2 weeks to get your house on the market and get it sold. You're still contingent, but bumpable, that was like a thing. Bumpable offers are not a thing right now.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because Kristen and I had that happen in 2018. We personally wanted to purchase this home, but we wanted to sell one of our other properties prior to doing it.
Yeah.
And they accepted our offer without even having photos done.
Right.
We were not on the market yet, but we also didn't do any work. And they accepted it as a bumpable buyer.
Yes.
That is almost like saying, I saw a dinosaur.
It is. So when you're bumpable, just so people understand, somebody else can go see that home. And if they're not bumpable, they don't have a house to sell, they can come in and make an offer, and then it just bumps you out of the way and like yeah, they can get your house. However, I will tell you also that when you are an accepted bumpable offer, showings reduce dramatically on that home and it's less likely to be shown. And it does happen. People do get bumped out, but not as often as you would think.
That's a good point. So it's super rare now to even have a chance in 2022.
Yeah.
You know, it's January 2022 to put a little framework to this podcast. Nobody's doing that anymore.
I'd be like, where do you find that?
There's just way too low of inventory, way too high of demand. And I don't see that changing in any near future. No. So what we want to discuss here in this episode, everyone, is what type of conversations are we having with clients about a strategy around this? Mm-hmm. Because that is, Heather, a very frequently asked question or situation where it's like, we just had that yesterday, you know, a family in Colorado.
Yep.
And they're like, we haven't listed yet, but we know we're moving to Portland. I got the job in Portland, Oregon. They're just like, it's the kid that doesn't want to jump in the pool, but they got their swim trunks on, their arm floaties, and they're on the edge.
They are. They're so excited. They're like ready to go. And but I'm really honest with clients. Our market might be very different compared to some other markets in, you know, the U.S. right now. But here in the Portland Metro Southwest Washington market, we've got multiple offers still. Bidding wars going on. Now, was it like the spring and the summer? No. I mean, you're not up against 22 offers, but you might have three or four offers. So if people are ready to buy, like they're just anxious, they're on the edge of their seat, I want their home to be sold. I want them to have a buyer, not closed. I just want you to have a house in contract that you're selling before you come here, before you fly out to look at homes here, because you're probably 99% not going to get an accepted offer here right now if your house isn't under contract that you have to sell.
So let's unpack that a little bit more. So really, to even have a fighting chance, and it's kind of an expectation, otherwise it's a waste of time because the market's moving too fast, everybody. So if you have a house to sell, and this is nerve-wracking for some people, right? And we're going to walk through our strategy and different options mm-hmm. that we lay out. And it's different for everyone, but you need to get your house listed.
Absolutely.
If you are serious about buying a new home, you're not going to win the game by looking every weekend. And once you find the right house, right, mm-hmm. then I'm going to list. That is not an acceptable strategy in today's market. I don't say that to be negative or condescending. I say that to save you time because it's a lot of time, money, and effort. You could go out and spend 8 weekends a row looking at houses, looking for that perfect one. But guess what? You're going to have zero chance. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be competitive. So what do we need to do first prior to even listing? Because that's a big jump. We need to talk to
the lender. Absolutely.
So give me your spill on how you explain that to clients, like the importance of talking to the lender and why, and then I'll bookend it from a mortgage advisor.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really important that you connect with your lender.
Before
you do anything, they're going to help you game plan your mortgage strategy. You need to talk about this, but there's different things you can do when you have to sell, when you have to buy, how much can you buy, how much can you afford, you know, job transfers, money, all of that, debt to income ratios. I mean, you can get creative with how people buy your home, but I need to know, one, how much you're going to be pre-approved for here, because what you can afford here might be completely different what you can afford where you're currently living. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the very first thing I do when we're having these consults, I'm going to identify if the person is required to sell and buy another home, because some people do have enough income, the appropriate credit, and some cash somewhere, whether it's a retirement investment accounts, a gift from a family member.
Wait, we just had somebody that had gold coins.
Gold coins. You never know.
That one was pulled out of nowhere. That was a fun one.
That was super fun. Get super creative. But having that consult, and you can't just call Rocket Mortgage and get that kind of consult. You can't. They're not going to know what you're talking about. These people plug in numbers. So you have to work with someone like me who cares, who has hundreds and hundreds of transactions and understands how to move it around like a Tetris piece. And I do it over a conversation, right, Heather?
No, it's a really good conversation. But back to you listed Rocket Mortgage. Please, people, no matter where you're moving, use a local lender. It is the most important thing you can do when purchasing a home right now, when you have financing, is having somebody local.
Quite honestly, it's the easiest thing you can do. I mean, you're just getting better service. You're getting more dialed in numbers, more experience, and it saves you money in the long run. And though, yes, individual or private mortgage advisors might be slightly more expensive, but you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And I've learned, like, people that try to nitpick on the mortgage thing and go with the internet lenders and this and that on the purchase side of this business will lose it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They'll lose it on closing late, mm-hmm. which happens a lot with internet lenders. They'll lose it because the quote that was given to the cubicle from the cubicle worker at that 1-800 number isn't exactly accurate, or it was that day only, asterisk, fine print, right?
Yep.
Versus someone that's working independently and acting in your best interest. Well,
and from a real estate perspective, on my end, as a realtor, a lot of us in the field, we see an online lender and we're like,
You poo-poo it real quick.
You do. And I know submitting those offers, they're some of them, I mean, they're presented, but they're also kind of pushed aside, not by me, but I've seen it happen in our industry where they're like, not working with that lender. You need to look at these solid ones. These are local. It's something that's taken very serious and looked at in our industry by real estate professionals. They look at who the lender is, and if they're online, sometimes they don't go through all the actual qualifications to make them fully pre-approved, like somebody yourself does.
Yeah, and you got to look at it, and I don't want to change the subject. No. We'll get back to what we were saying before, but to cap that, look at it from this perspective to make it a little more simple. If someone has two $500,000 offers, they're exact same offers, one has a local lender and one has an internet lender or a big bank, they're going to choose the local.
Yeah.
So even if you do go the bottom of the barrel, I know mortgages on my own, I'm going to go internet, guess what? You're going to have to overbid to compensate for the fact that the listing agent doesn't like that risk and the lack of communication. Mm-hmm. So you end up paying more for the house.
Yeah.
When you were maybe just trying to save $500 in closing costs. That's not a good business move. Anyways, let me slide back.
Sorry, yeah.
Step number one, though, getting back to your lender when you're thinking about buying and selling and worried about the contingency piece, do connect, because someone like me is going to go through, okay, where's your household income at? Do we maybe have enough money, right, to buy a house and hold both mortgages and close and not be contingent?
Yep.
That's a very common route, especially if you've got dual income, right? Dual income households can qualify if they have low debt for two mortgages, which means you wouldn't have to be contingent in order to offer and close. So how that storyline works, you know, Heather, I get them approved. I say, hey, here's the maximum allowed additional mortgage.
Yep.
You get them into contract. They close. They have a closing date. And then they go ahead and list.
Yeah. Makes it really easy.
Smooth. Really easy. And often right now, there's negotiation/expectations for rent back. So put a little, give a definition really quick on rent back, because that's important for some people that haven't listed.
Rent back is really, really important to understand. So basically in Oregon, Pacific Northwest, usually it's about a 30-day close from getting your offer accepted to when you close. So usually 30 days is up, you close, here's your keys, woohoo, celebrate. Yep. However, a lot of these sellers are needing some extra time in the house after close.
Yeah.
2 weeks, 30 days, 45 days, 60 days. It depends. So there's...
Depends if the house is vacant, don't need rent.
Exactly.
If that family needs to go buy another home, they got to go through the same thing you're doing.
Yes. And this is one of the challenges right now to selling and buying is, oh my gosh, I don't want to sell my house until I know I have a house to move into. And getting an offer accepted when your house hasn't sold, it's a problem. So rent back is great.
It's almost expected.
It is almost expected because most likely your seller isn't going to be able to look for their replacement property, their new home, until their home's under contract. So it's this vicious cycle that just keeps.
So once again, say you're looking at two offers, they're both 500. Mm-hmm. Say they both have a local lender. Great. Or say there's three offers at 500, two local lenders, one bank or internet lender.
Yep.
Internet lenders shoved to the ground.
They totally
now
are.
It's the local.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the local one has rent back. flexibility for the sellers to go buy another home themselves. Mm-hmm. One doesn't. They're going to pick the rent back.
Exactly. What I'm really surprised about, because I deal with relocation, mm-hmm. I am surprised when I have these conversations with buyers coming to this area and I'm asking them if they have to sell to buy. And they're like, yes, I have a realtor and they're worried about this. I bring up rent back and they have no clue what it is. Their listing agent has not talked about this. And that makes me sad. That's frustrating to me because I need to make sure that their best interest is at hand. So I educate them on that as well. So they know what, you know, they can do on their end to better protect themselves too.
Almost every consult we do Zoom consults together, the lender and the agent, we are defining and reviewing rent back. And just to give a little bit of perspective, we did over 250 Zoom calls last year.
Yeah.
We talked about rent back 250 times to people mm-hmm. at minimum. So it's super important. And I look at it as a currency. It's just as important as your approval amount, as your down payment, your credit worthiness, who you're working with. Your ability to be flexible with rent back is mm-hmm. huge. The more contingencies you have or conditions to make the deal happen, you're just making the odds of getting your offer accepted mm-hmm. so much smaller. And guess what? Last play too. Say you're like, I'll just overbid. I'm going to use my internet lender, Addy. I'm going to go bottom of the barrel. I'm going to way overbid on this house. Guess what selling agents are then doing? Calling the lower offer, of which has rent back and a local lender, and being like, I have another offer mm-hmm. of which is at this price. And I would also like to have everything you have at this price.
Yeah.
Sure. Take it.
Yeah.
So this, and I'm trying to paint a picture of people that just have all these wound up restrictions, you lose almost every time. But the contingency piece is super important to understand. But we do something almost with everyone is coming up with multiple plans. And it's been more important. So we talk about our plan A, B, and C approach.
So obviously rent back. That's plan A if you have rent back. The other thing is selling your home, coming here, hitting the ground running. Let's say either A, you have a house that we're going to move into, but we aren't ready to close on it. Like you have 30 days, or let's say you had to give rent back to your sellers here. Like you need somewhere to go. I love plan B, Airbnb, VRBO.
Short-term rental,
you guys.
Not long-term.
No, not long-term.
Why? Tell them why not.
Well, long-term is like, it's expensive. Rent is so expensive everywhere. First month, last month, security deposits, pet deposits. It adds up. And then if you find, let's say you don't have a house and you want to hit the ground running when you get here to go and find a home, then you get into this apartment lease and then you find the dream home and then you need to break your lease.
I mean, you just lost 10 grand. In
10
deposits.
Grand easily. It is.
We were talking about that on another episode where it's like leasing is almost just as expensive as some first time home buyer.
It's situations. Insane. Yeah. So a lot of our clients are doing short term rentals. Mm-hmm. So they're contacting these Airbnbs to say, hey, they're also negotiating a better rate. Yep. So you might see something like, hey, it's $2,500, you know, to rent this great little, you know, studio place for, you know, in Portland for 1 month.
Yep.
Hey, I need it for 3 months. Can I get it for $1,800? Yep. And it's happening. You can reach out to these people. Yep. You know, unfortunately, being in the middle of a pandemic, you know, people aren't traveling as much. People aren't going and visiting all of these cities as much. So mm-hmm. these people that have Airbnbs that relied on this, you know, income to help them have suffered. So getting somebody in there, you know, for long term, meaning more than, you know, a weekend, a month, 2 months, 3 months, that's great income for them. So they want to work with you. And you're not paying first month's, last month's rents. You're not paying mm-hmm. all of these security deposits. And guess what? You don't have to break a lease.
Yeah.
So that has been huge.
Once again, flexibility mm-hmm. and using your money appropriately to limit the risk.
Yeah.
And long-term rentals are just so expensive. Mm-hmm. I do want to know, too, another thing we review on the lending side. And this is why I love working with clients from buying their first home to their second to their third to the fourth, because often I structure their strategy to house number one is under, say it's two people, like mm-hmm. husband, wife, or partners, whatever you want to call it, or whatever the situation is. I might have person number one, spouse one, just buy the house under their name and credit.
Yep.
Because guess what? We go buy the second home, we're non-contingent if that person number two isn't on the credit.
Yep.
We can use that the spouse two's income and credit to buy house number two without being contingent
yep.
of selling house number one. It's, and I don't want to get too far off on that, but there is a strategy. My wife and I did the same thing. Put, she bought house number one. Then once we got keys, anything we ever financed, cars, anything, all the debt was just under her name. We kept mine squeaky clean, zero debt.
Yep.
And then we bought the next home under my name and I had full buying power. And we were able to do that with multiple properties. So actually talking through the mortgage strategy is a real thing. So yeah. That's number one, like dividing. Can, do you have the ability to use spouse number two's credit if they're not on title for house number one? That can make you non-contingent. That can make you more flexible and competitive. So that is a strategy we talk about quite often.
A lot.
Quite often.
Yeah.
So just to recap where we went, like number one, we define contingency.
Yep.
The more flexibility you have, the easier it's going to be, the shorter the time frame. Trying to do shortcuts or crafty moves, flea flickers or whatever, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Like the market just doesn't allow it. Now, if it slows down a little bit, Heather, we might see that open up a little
bit. For
sure. But I don't see the supply and demand issue we have right now changing.
No. Not for a while.
No one. They can't build them faster than we're making people.
Mm-hmm. Well, just building is slowed down because of supply and demand. They can't get their supplies. So yep. even new construction is delayed big
yeah.
time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So with those are kind of what I know we've got another bullet in here.
I mean, we do. Like, I want to talk about another challenge that's really, really important. If you are needing to sell to buy another thing, let's talk about another contingency. You have an inspection on the home that you're selling. When we're making offers, I've just got to be really honest. This is a big challenge for me. When I have people looking to buy a house, they're calling me. The listing agent is looking at our offer and they're calling me. How far along are you in the sale of the transaction on the home on their sale?
So let's back up really quick.
Yes.
Our clients have put in an offer
yes.
on a house. The house that they're living in now, they're selling. Yep. They have an accepted offer.
Accepted offer.
So this is kind of a rare move right now.
Yes.
But it's getting a little more common.
Yes.
So they accept it or they're considering the offer.
They're considering. And
all right, back to you, Action. Yeah.
They're action. They are calling. I love when I get a call from the listing agent and they want to know, hey, where are we at in the sale of their home? Talk to me. Are we past inspection? That's another contingency on your sale of your home that we're hoping to get past. Like if you've made it through inspections, we're looking good. Like inspections is probably one of the number one reasons why houses sale fail. So if you're still in that contingency and we haven't done the inspection on the sale of your home, then there's a possibility something yep. might come up. It could sale fail, which scares the listing agent and the sellers yeah. over here if they're up against other offers.
Yep.
But if you are through that inspection period and that contingency has been lifted on the sale of your home, it's like,
whoo. That's step- easier to work with, but there's another step that can make it even stronger. The appraisal.
Yeah.
If you're through appraisal on your selling, yes. that's where it's really a gold star.
It is a gold star.
And
it
really is. Once again, not to like be pro use Addy or mortgage advisors, not 1-800. They call me.
Yeah.
The offer you put in on that listing, that selling agent, I'm calling them, they're calling me.
Yep.
That's why. That's another dynamic to the local piece is they love being able to get the inside scoop from someone like me. You can't get the inside scoop from Rocket Mortgage. You can't. But here's the thing. They call and I've done my due diligence for my client and I'm in court. Like Heather and I are in communications about the progress.
Yes.
I've even called the lenders on our client's sales and I buddy up with them. I'm like, shoot me straight. Are these buyers good? Oh, yeah, we're good. We're golden.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to them. They're on my weekly check-ins. Mm-hmm. Where am I through appraisal? Are you through appraisal? Do you have final approval? Because I'm making sure they're so. And then on your offer, I'm telling the listing agent, it's such a power move because Heather can butter them up and then I can call them and be like, oh, yeah, we're totally good. Not only Heather and I are great at our jobs and we're checking off all the boxes, I know the lender on our sale.
Yep.
And I just talked to Susan, and Susan got the appraisal back, and they have final approval, and they're pushing to close. There's zero risk here. Once again, you are just making your offer so much stronger.
And that's something that we both do when we find out when somebody's relocating and they're selling to buying. The first thing I ask if, one, do they already have a listing agent helping them? If they do, great. What's their contact information? I want to be on the same page as them. I start communicating with them as well.
Yep.
So I'm on the same page, helping along. Like, it's not just, you're not just buying with me. I want to help and be there to support your sale of your home too, and make sure all of our ducks are in a row, from your house here in Colorado to get to Oregon. And I'm helping along the way and making sure that there's nothing that gets missed.
And there's a lot of dynamics when it comes to different states, because real estate is different per state.
Yes.
Like, some are do use lawyers and attorneys, not title and escrow.
Yep.
And those can take longer. And there's different steps. I almost said something negative about lawyers, but I bit my tongue there. But we are, lawyers aren't working at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, they're like bankers, 9 to 5. So it's a little bit different. And it might be a slower, like, there's some states have a 45 standard day close.
Yep.
Here in the Pacific Northwest, we're 21 to 31.
Yeah.
That, and you'd usually say 30, but it's getting quicker as there's less purchase transactions. Once again, the pace has to get up.
Yeah.
Ah. Anyways, I do just want to say, like, that piece of it is important. That is another, way you can strengthen your offer without spending more money, but just choosing the right people.
Yeah.
That was my power statement.
And I think that it's important that you have not only a lender, but also a real estate agent, that you guys are interviewing people and talking to them and making sure they understand the whole process from selling to buying, you know, from start to finish, like, understanding that whole process. I'm really fortunate because I have, you know, 25 years experience in title and escrow, which is the backside of real estate. So I understand the whole process, not only from showing you homes, buying, listing, selling, but also the whole other part of it as well. So I can help my clients walk through the entire process from start to finish.
Absolutely. I think we did a great job walking through what a contingency is in the current day market, how we're navigating through the fear of selling and buying simultaneously, what the options are, how, what to expect, and how you can improve your offer. And we always say too in our consults, like, the entire reason of making these right choices, A, you know, you want to have great service level, you want to be super competitive, but when you have all those things on your side, Heather, the stress gets reduced significantly. Mm-hmm. And that's the number one complaint I hear from people. It's just like, oh man, it's so stressful the last time I did this. And like, that's not our approach. I wish you worked with us last time, but you're working with us now. So we're going to reduce the stress.
Absolutely.
And that is
super good. Fun. And we educate.
Fun too, yeah.
You know, educate, make it fun.
Reduce the stress.
Yeah.
I would say too, we're going to put a part two.
Part two.
I'm in the plan for this episode. So we are in the middle of getting trained for a really exciting program. I don't know what to call it without reviewing.
I don't know either, but I am so excited that I get to be a part of this.
So, yeah, we're going through training to get approved for a cash buyer program that we have. Mm-hmm. So there's a new program out there that allows buyers who are even getting a mortgage to go shop and purchase as a cash buyer and close and convert into a mortgage after. And there's a lot of things we have to learn and get approved for. And we're going to do a part two on it because tomorrow's our training for it. We're very excited. But this can change the game. And I have a hunch. I have a hunch that in the next couple of years, this is going to start to be a dramatically high percentage of buyers.
It's like a touchdown.
I know.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to keep you posted in the part two. So mark this, contingencies with special guest Heather Listy. There's going to be a sequel and it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be great.
Oh, there's our app music. Whoop. Producer Cheryl's like, you guys need to shut her down.
Shut her down.
Hey, so let's just thank everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to
MLO.
And that's Heather's favorite part, chiming in on the MLO. We really appreciate you taking your time to join us. And hopefully the education has made it more transparent for you to navigate through not only real estate, but mortgage. So once again, till next time, we will
catch you later.